the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
The Lord God chose Abraham and found his heart faithful to thee. That's Nehemiah 9, 7, and 8. And with those verses, we welcome you to today's edition of Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland here. We begin a new week of Exploring the Word, and we are in the Old Testament book of Nehemiah. And we invite you to turn there and join with us, or if you're driving or something, you can just listen along. But we study the Word of God in this show, and then later in the second half, we take Bible questions. And so if you want to ask a Bible question, we often say this: if you've ever wanted to raise your hand during a sermon, well, this is your chance. And so we'd look forward to hearing from you later on in the show. But I want to welcome somebody very special, and he's not been on in a while. It's great to have him back. It's Jim Stanley. Bert is out today, but Jim is with us, and Jim and I together will continue through Nehemiah. But welcome, brother. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing better. I appreciate the opportunity to be with you today. I'm still recovering from the after effects of COVID, and one of those, it may be a blessing in disguise for a lot of people, is the fact that my voice hasn't been fully restored yet, but it's a lot better than it was a couple of weeks ago, and so we're going to give it a whirl today. And, you know, one of the things as we look at Nehemiah 9 that I really like is what transpires here. It's not a day of reckoning, but it's a day of repentance, and it's a day of confession. And Alex, you know, if we in America took a day and we decided to assemble in sackcloth and, you know, sackcloth and ashes, and if we took and we as Christians, and by Christians, I mean Christ followers, those who know him as Savior. If we would take and we would confess our sins to him and we would repent as they do here in the book of Nehemiah, and then if we took and had an all-day church service, which basically they spent a four, and we're going to get into that as we go through the book, it was kind of broken up into fourths, and then, man, the take and... when the guys began to read and they made these proclamations to the Lord, how much revival could we have in America if we would follow this pattern?
Amen. Well, we need that. We really, really do. And Jim, you make a great point. In fact, I was just talking to a pastor just an hour ago who listens, and have I got a testimony here in just a minute. A caller from California. Who called us up over the weekend. But we need this in America. A pastor called me earlier today and was asking, you know, what about the spiritual state of our country? What could turn us around back to the Lord? Well, in chapter 8, which of course precedes chapter 9, Ezra brings the law of Moses, reads it to all the people. They gather at a place called the Watergate. Now remember, they've rebuilt the walls in 52 days. And people are standing on the platform next to Ezra as he reads. There are Levites apparently interspersed throughout the crowd, because periodically in chapter 8, you know, Ezra is reading the word of God and the people say, amen, amen. In other words, that's right, yes. And it says that the Levites throughout the crowd would give to the people understanding of what was being read. And Jim, for hours and hours, they're reading the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Maybe they took times where in small groups within earshot, some of the Levites would explain. Did you, 20 years ago, well, 25 years ago, did you ever go to the Promise Keepers rally that was in Washington?
Not in Washington, but I did go to a couple of the other ones.
Do you remember that? And there were like 1.2 million men who came to the mall in Washington for a solemn assembly. And I remember, you know, Dr. Dobson spoke, and of course, Coach McCartney, and just many, many speakers, Tony Evans. But there were times of prayer, and I probably was in half a dozen small groups throughout. I was there probably 18 hours, and we were talking about the things of the Lord. We were talking about what we were hearing. We were praying. And I don't know, when I read Nehemiah chapter 8, I kind of think of a big gathering like that. And it says in like verse 9 of chapter 8, the Levites taught the people and said unto the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Now, getting into chapter 9, where the people fast and repent, and it says in chapter 9 that they put earth on their heads.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the people were assembled with fasting. We know what that is. Sackcloths. They didn't put on their good clothes. They put on rags to show contrition, brokenness before God, and put earth on their heads. Now, there's this practice of like putting dust on your head to really kind of symbolize death. Like, I'm so broken over my sin. I'm so sorry for my sin. I'm as a dead man. And it says in verse 2 of Nehemiah 9, the seed of Israel separated themselves from all the strangers, stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they read the book of the law of the Lord for a fourth part of the day, and another fourth part they confessed. So we're talking 12 hours,
mm-hmm.
12 hours of scripture reading, 12 hours of confession and repentance. Jim, I don't know the full state of the nation at that point, but I have a pretty good grasp of the state of America right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need 12 weeks of prayer and fasting and repentance, don't we?
Amen. Sure do. And, you know, when they talk about this here, the fact that they separated themselves, you know, to where they were, the children of Israel. And that's why earlier I said, if we as Christ followers, it doesn't matter to me if you're Baptist, Catholic, Pentecostal, you know, if we believe in the shed blood of Jesus Christ and Him as our Savior, then some of those external factors that we tend to rely on as a gauge, those can be set aside, and we can come anointed under the blood of the Lamb. And if we took and we, you know, our law is pretty simple. You know, Christ broke it down pretty well. Do unto others as you would first, you know, the Lord your God is one God. And then do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You know, it's one of those things that our commandments aren't nearly as burdensome as what they had in the Old Testament. Our commandments come straight from Christ. And that doesn't dismiss the other ones. I want to be real clear about that. But Christ said, if you do these things, then you've done the rest of it, you know? And so a lot of folks say the Bible's a book of don'ts, and you've heard me say this before. It's an old phrase from Mike Warnke. And he said, if we spend our times doing the do's, then we wouldn't have enough time to do the don'ts.
Amen.
And
that's good.
And I think sometimes we get so caught up on what the don'ts are, we forget about the do's. And this is a great reminder here, especially there. And I'm not sure how far you want to go, but when we look into verse 5, and the Levites, Jeshua, Cadmel, Hashabiah, Sarabiah, and I'm going to mutilate the rest of those. But here's the words. It says, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever
Amen.
And ever. Blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are Lord. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens with all their host, the earth and everything on it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve them all. The host of heaven worships you. And then, this continues on for many verses. But Alex, so often we're simply afraid to tell the Lord that we know who He is, not because we're so smart, but because of how He's revealed Himself to us.
Jim, I'm so glad you bring this up. I'm so glad you're bringing this up. And folks, if you're just tuning in, this is Exploring the Word on the American Family Radio Network. We are in Nehemiah chapter 9. Now, folks, listen to this in verses 4 and following. That these people all around the podium, up on the stairs where Ezra's reading, they cry with a loud voice. And notice verse 5, you know, they say, bless the Lord your God forever, bless His glorious name. So they're dealing with the identity of the true God.
Mm-hmm.
Then they talk about the work of the Lord. God's great work of creation. He made the heavens and the earth. God's great work of redemption. Verse 7, he called Abram, brought him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees, gave him the name Abraham, found his heart faithful to thee. You'll read about that in Romans 4. Abraham believed God. And so there's Egypt and the deliverance from the Pharaoh and all that. Now, here's the thing. Part of revival, sure, there's admission of sin, there's turning from sin, but part of revival and restoration, you have to get a vision of who is the true and the living God.
Amen.
Now, notice they said, you know, the Lord God, in other words, the Almighty, Elohim, and his glorious blessed name forever. All right, who is God? What has God done? What is my relationship with God? The true and living God, his great work of creation, which includes that he made us and we're accountable to him, his great work of redemption. I want to throw a couple of verses, Jim. I want your response. You know, Isaiah 42:8 says, I am the Lord, that is my name, I will not give my glory to another. Isaiah 45:22, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Now here's the point. Jim, part of revival means turning to the true and living God.
Right.
Not Buddha, Muhammad, Zoroaster, Allah, not an avatar or a shaman, but the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the ways that we're going to have to bow before God and seek forgiveness and restoration is we have got to admit who God is, the real God, not a God of our own making, not a God that is convenient and who promises everything and demands nothing. No, the biblical God is the only true God. And I could say that again, folks. The only real God, R.C. Sproul said this. Somebody asked R.C. Sproul, what's the difference between the God of Christianity and the gods of all the other religions? R.C. Sproul said, well, the God of Christianity exists. The real God. So they turn to God, the Creator, the Redeemer, and therein is the pathway back to life.
Mm-hmm. Amen. You know, and the reassurances that they found in God and who he was, because even here, they go back and they go through a litany of things that their fathers had not done, you know, and one of the reasons that they were, that it said that he goes through delivering them, you know, in from the Egyptians and then giving them the land, and then, you know, that the fathers had acted proudly, hardened their necks, there in verse 16, mm-hmm. and did not heed your commandments. They refused to obey, and they were not mindful of your wonders. And remember, these are the same wonders they were just talking about here, back over in the beginning of the chapter, reminding everyone of who God was and what he had created, and that he alone was God, and then reminded them of the promises. And then they go through, you know, on down there. And we'll get back into this. Folks, we're in the 9th chapter of the book of Nehemiah here on Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today we pray for Stacy Dean, Deputy Administrator for the Food and Nutrition Service. Her office works to increase nutrition assistance for struggling families and individuals. Genesis 9:3 reminds us of God's blessings of food. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you, and as I give you the green plants, I give you everything. Right now, with this in mind, would you pray with me? Dear God, we ask for guidance for Stacy Dean as she works to improve food and nutrition. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team. Pray with us as we lift up each state's freshman senators and representatives as part of our 2021 Bold Initiative, Beside Our Leaders Daily. Learn more at pausetopray.org.
Providing spiritual leadership for your family can be exhausting, especially with all the other pressures piling up on us. So when you just don't have the energy to make it to church, Dr. Tony Evans says, go anyway. He explains as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
If you, Mr., are serious about having a long-term family, then you better equally be serious about leading your family in worship. My father worked like a dog. For 35 years, he had to tote that box and lift that bale. He had to go there as a longshoreman, and he had to lift these heavy boxes. My father would be dead tired when he came home. Oh, but on Sunday morning, even if he had to work all night Saturday, on Sunday morning, he'd come wake us up. And I'd say, but Dad, I'm tired. He said, no, son, I'm the one that's tired, but we are going to church. Because as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. On Wednesday night, he'd come in at 5:30, 6 o'clock, dog tired. After all that he had done, he said, let's go. I said, Dad, but you just got home from work. Yeah, but the only reason I could work was because God gave me the strength. So I'm going to prayer meeting tonight and ask him to give me more strength than I normally had. More power than I normally had. If your wife has to wake you up and tell you it's time to go to church, you don't fear the Lord. Because if you knew it was the Lord that was going to maintain your family, you'd be waking them up.
For more practical advice on how to turn a father into the leader God created him to be, get a copy of Dr. Evans' bestseller, Kingdom Man. It's available at TonyEvans.org, along with study guides, leaders' guides, and everything you need to promote God's view of manhood in your home or church. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. Then join us next time as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Isaiah 55, verse 8, 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts.
American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
What will I say when I'm held to the flame like I am right now? I know you're able and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. We're in the ninth chapter of the book of Nehemiah. I'm Jim Stanley along with Dr. Alex McFarland. It's my privilege to sit in for Bert Harper today, and he'll be back with us tomorrow afternoon. So no fret, I'm only here for a day unless something happens, but Bert's just got the day off, and so I'm kind of pinch-hitting today. Alex, you know, this is a pretty good litany that continues throughout the rest of the book, throughout the rest of the chapter here, of the ninth chapter. One of the things in the book of Nehemiah, one of the things I wanted to go back and just kind of highlight was in verse 8. And it's right after there in verse 7 where it says that God changed his name to Abraham. And this is the folks here speaking about Abraham and saying that God found Abraham's heart faithful before the Lord and made a covenant with him. And Alex, we are children. We talk about being children of the new covenant. But the fact of the matter is that God continues to make covenant with his people on a daily basis, doesn't he?
He really does. And the way that works, Jim, I'm so glad you bring this up. It's the Bible. You know, I believe I heard Adrian Rogers, and folks, he's a radio preacher. He's in heaven now, but you need to be acquainted with Adrian Rogers. He was one of the best. And he said one time that, you know, the promises of Scripture, you can put your own name in them unless it is specifically like to the nation of Israel or mm-hmm. something like that. But as a born-again believer, you know, when Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, that's a promise of God to you, the believer, if you're a born-again believer. And so many that we could give. And Jim, you're right. The covenant, that means an agreement, a promise. It's really, you know, when Abraham and God made this covenant, and they sacrificed some doves, and they cut the pieces, And basically, a covenant, the word covenant means to cut a cut. And you think, well, what does that mean? Well, they would, you know, sacrifice an animal, and they would ratify the covenant by walking between the pieces. And it was essentially saying, you know, when two people would make a covenant, they were saying, you know, may that be what happens to me if I fail on my end of the promise. Now, we know God cannot lie, and God makes covenant. And he made this covenant with Abraham, and Abraham believed God. And it goes through, you know, 8 through 15 about the signs and the deliverance. And verse 11, God parted the Red Sea, you know, the story of Moses and the Red Sea, of course, led them through the wilderness with a pillar of fire, a cloud by night. And Jim, I find it convicting when I read like verse 16, but, and so there's a little change here. Mm-hmm. God did all these things, gave them bread from their for their hunger, brought forth water out of the rock, but they, our fathers, dealt proudly, hardened their necks, and would not listen to God's commandments. Verse 17, refused to obey. Neither were they mindful of the wonders God did to bring them out. All right, there's so much we could say, but in Nehemiah 9:17, the pathway to backsliddenness and falling into sin, carnality, disobedience, they forgot. They forgot the great things that God had done. And Jim, part of our nation's problem, we've got amnesia. You read me?
Right.
I mean, haven't we forgotten so many of the abundant blessings the good Lord has given this nation?
Amen. And you know, as you were going through that, that again made me think of that. But the there's another but there, Alex, right after, you know, where you were talking. And you said that God is not a liar, that God never forgets his covenant. And that's what they say here in the midst of verse 17. It said, but you are God, ready to pardon, gracious merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and did not forsake them. Folks, right there, highlight that part of that verse if you write in your Bible. And remember the fact that God will never forsake us. We may forsake him, but his promises remain strong and remain true. And that right there, God did not turn his back on them. And he, you know, as it was saying there, that he was ready and is ready to pardon us today.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, you know, when I read that in verse 17, but thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and did not forsake them. Charles Finney was a great revivalist in the 19th century, and he said that God was more willing to send revival than we were even willing to ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's true. And let me encourage you folks listening, maybe you want to get a prayer group in your community, and please pray for our country. Maybe in your church, you want to, people talk about having a revival meeting. Maybe you just want to start a prayer time on Sunday before Sunday school or Bible study, before the preaching time. Well, pray, even if it's just one or two or three of you, intercede. One little historical footnote, and then I want to get back to Nehemiah 9, but Charles Spurgeon, who we love, he was a powerhouse in the 19th century, and speaking of powerhouse, one day he was touring some people through the church, and they saw the sanctuary and the pulpit, and he pointed toward the floor, and he said, let me take you down there and show you the powerhouse. And they thought, well, the furnace? Is that maybe the furnace is down there? They went down directly underneath Spurgeon's pulpit was a room. And he said, there's always at least half a dozen people down here praying. He said, that's why we have the power of God, because of the intercessors, the powerhouse. And so God is a gracious, merciful God, slow to anger, just like a parent. You know, a good parent, they might have to punish their children, but they do it out of love. But it hurts a parent to punish. And no godly parent enjoys, but we do it out of love. But God is slow to anger, of great kindness.
Mm-hmm.
And in spite of their sin, did not forsake them. Verse 18, when they had made a molten calf and said, this is thy God that brought thee out of Egypt, and wrought great provocations. No, they pushed the envelope, didn't they?
Right.
And by the way, one thing of 17, forgive me for going backwards, but in 17 it says they appointed a captain to return to their bondage. In other words, God delivered them, the plagues, the power of God, the Red Sea parted, and they said, hey, let's get up a committee to help us get back to Egypt.
Right.
Now, Jim, that's wanting to be in bondage, isn't it?
It sure is.
But
absolutely,
God didn't forsake. And see, he was calling out the Israelites to make of them a great nation, because through them the Savior would come. Let's remember the big story here. God called out Abraham, raised up Israel, through whom to send Jesus, our Savior.
Amen. You know, and you may go back through some of this, and even with that, and it talks about the things they did, the golden calf, but it's, again, in 19, it says, yet in your manifold mercies, you did not forsake them in the wilderness. And then it goes through the different things that God did for them, even in that time. And then in verse 21, it says, 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness. They lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out, and their feet did not swell. Now, Alex, you want to talk about a God who cares about you from head to toe? Think about that. These folks are on their feet in the desert every day, but their feet did not swell. So evidently their feet didn't get blistered or infected or any of the other number of things that could have come from that, but their feet didn't even swell. Now, I can tell you, on a bad day, my feet will swell. My wife's feet will swell if she spends too much time on her feet. You know, and that's not fun. But God, in his infinite mercy, even took care of the children of Israel's feet.
Yeah, and you know what? Much has been written about verse 21. And in just a minute, folks, now I'm going to read Nehemiah 9:21, but I'm going to reference Deuteronomy 2:7. But it says, 40 years God sustained them in the wilderness. They lacked nothing. Their clothes, I love the way the King James renders it, their clothes waxed not old. In other words, their clothes didn't wear out. And I'm going to come back to that. And their feet did not swell. You're right. Hey, let me tell you, you get a bunion or, you know, sore feet and you're walking, it is not fun. And many commentators have said, look, you know, apparently their clothes grew with them. And I want to say, I believe in this miracle. The same God that multiplies bread and fishes, he can make your clothes last 40 years. The word there is a very interesting word. The root of it means, you know, the clothes didn't wear out, but it means they were never spent. Now, God sustained their garment. God can sustain your strength. God can give you the commitment to walk the path of a Christian. God can help you financially, and I believe he will. But let me read Deuteronomy 2:7, which is very much like Nehemiah 9:21. But, you know, Moses had to give a little halftime pep talk, as all good coaches do.
That's right.
For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knows thy walking through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. Jim, couldn't we say that about each one of our own journeys? I mean, if we're honest with ourselves, and I'm not saying it's always easy. Sometimes the Christian life is very challenging, even for the most godly of believers. But you look back, and I think we all could be honestly saying this, the Lord our God has been with us. He's blessed us. He's sustained us. All in all, we've lacked nothing. God's faithful, isn't he?
He sure is, and he's faithful day in and day out, and that's something that we should be thankful for all the time.
Amen, amen. And it goes on, 22 and following, they were given kingdoms and nations. They were able to overcome the Amorites and the people of the land. They possessed the land. Goes on, it talks about taking strong cities, and not only land that God had promised Abraham, because remember he told Abraham, everywhere your foot treads, I'm going to give you this land. But they got the fat of the land, houses, goods, wells, vineyards, olive yards, fruit trees. They did eat and they were filled. And they became fat and delighted themselves in thy great goodness. God is really, really abundant to his children. But verse 26, there's a conjunction, nevertheless.
Right.
It's like verse 16, but. Verse 26, nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against thee, cast thy law behind their backs, and slew the prophets which testified against them to turn them to thee, and they wrought great provocations. Jim, I want you to comment on something. 25 years ago, when Angie and I were much younger in our marriage and new in the ministry, and I was a youth pastor, and we rented the Greensboro Coliseum to bring in Coach Tom Landry. And we had a big youth rally in Greensboro, and it went great, and brought in a band called Point of Grace. Do you remember them?
Right. I remember Point of Grace.
And as we got close to the event and everything was going great, we had a dear man named Jim Waters, and he gave us a donation of several thousand dollars, and a very, very, very generous donation. And it was pretty clear the Lord was with us. He said, Alex, don't forget who brung you to the dance.
Mm.
And we talked, and he was meaning, and I've thought about this a thousand times. Okay, we had a vision. God blessed us. And Jim Waters was saying, don't forget, it's the Lord that's done all this. Wasn't Alex. Wasn't, you know, don't forget. And Jim, I think as an individual, as a family, as a nation, we got to remember where all these blessings come from. We love the blessings, but we forget the blesser sometimes, don't we?
We sure do. And you know, when we're going through this, Alex, it makes me think of when Solomon prayed the dedication for the temple. You know, even in that prayer where he was dedicating this temple to the Lord, he knew. He knew how he saw what had happened before him and had a pretty good idea of what was going to happen after him. And that, you know, his fathers had strayed. When we look back to the Hebrew fathers, you know, they strayed. When we look towards us, and, you know, we have strayed. But even in those times of straying, he always said, you know, Solomon said, and just as they've written here, that even though they were disobedient, it's one of those things. I'm in verse 52 here in the book of Solomon, and it says, may your eyes be open to your servant's plea and to the plea of your people Israel. May you listen to them whenever they cry out to you, for you singled them out from all the nations of the world to be your God's own inheritance, just as you declared through your servant Moses, sovereign Lord, brought our ancestors out of Egypt. And, you know, when we look at that, and by the way, that's the 8th chapter of 1 Kings there, in case you wanted the reference. But, Alex, when we look at that and the prayer of the temple, the prayer of dedication, you know, it's one of those things when you look at that and you look at the litany that goes on here through the 9th chapter of the book of Nehemiah, it's just a reminder of God's, how fervent the promises of God are. Folks, we're going to come back and wrap that up. But in the meantime, if you'd like to go ahead and get in your phone calls, you can do so at 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. As Exploring the Word continues here on American Family Radio.
So they asked me to enter my email address. And the next thing I know, I start getting emails from companies I never even knew existed. What's up with that?
Here at the American Family Association, you have our word that we won't give away, sell, or lease your email address to any other organization or company. We're thankful when you take the time to subscribe to AFA Action Alerts, 1 Million Moms, Engage Magazine, or any of our other online newsletters.
Are you in need of hope, encouragement, and the love of God? I'm Pastor Salem. I'd like to invite you to join us for the Christian Worship Hour. For decades, I've been teaching the Word of God so that people everywhere can experience the love and power of a personal relationship with our Lord. Tune into this station this weekend and prepare to be blessed and encouraged by another life-changing message.
Learn more about our program at ChristianWorshipHour.com.
And who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Esther, a young girl, became queen of the Persian Empire when Israel was subject to Persian rule. A wicked man named Haman tried to get the king to exterminate all Jews. Esther, a Jew herself, was queen when this genocidal conspiracy was brought to bear. But her cousin Mordecai put her royal position in perspective. Perhaps God made you queen for this very moment, to intervene on behalf of the Jewish people. Like Esther, perhaps God gave you the platform, position, and influence you have for this very moment, to stand against darkness. Perhaps you were born for such a time as this.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
This is good news, maybe exactly when you need it too. Right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fees. This could save you money on top of all that you'll save each month by becoming a member of MediShare. So many people are looking for a healthcare solution right now, seeing the cost of COBRA plans, for instance, and MediShare is the affordable alternative to health insurance. The typical family saves $500 a month. You might save even more. MediShare is a Christian community that shares each other's healthcare costs, and because of the current economic situation, they're making it easier than ever. Apply by March 31st. You can save an additional $170 on your first month. I'll give you the number here in a second. And if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to receive your additional savings. Maybe now is the time to make the switch like more than 400,000 people already have and start saving. Here it is. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Word of God speak.
Welcome back. You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
I'm finding myself in the midst of you. Beyond the
good afternoon. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. This is Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. I'm Jim Stanley and with Dr. Alex McFarland. And Alex, did you want to wrap anything up there as we were in the middle of chapter 9 of Nehemiah?
Well, folks, I want to encourage you to finish reading Nehemiah 9, if you would, for tomorrow. You could begin about verse 26 through 38. And so it's going to talk about the people make a pledge and they commit to God that they're going to follow God, and we'll unpack that tomorrow. Let me say a little bit of a quick word. The AFA Journal, if you don't have the April edition of the AFA Journal, you can go online and request a subscription, afajournal.org. Now, Jim, hey, forgive me for being a little selfish here, but I wanted to promote the journal because I have an article in there. I've got an article. Now, it's always great, and there's, you know, Ed Vitagliano is in here, and Walker Wildman, and Issues at Hand, which you need to read this stuff. But folks, the AFA Journal has been a part of my prep and research for 2.5 decades. You need to get this, and I'm very honored that I have an article in the April edition.
Amen. Well, folks, we're going to go to the phones now, and we're going to start in Arkansas, and I believe the gentleman's name is Callis. Callis, welcome to American Family Radio.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is Callis. I'm former World Bank, and God is letting these Latino kids and welcome them in because they're taking the place of all the abortions. I mean, nature abhors a vacuum, and God is sending all these Latino boys and kids up here to replace the abortions. I wonder why preachers haven't said anything about it.
Well, Callis, we appreciate your call this afternoon. That's a neat observation. And, you know, Alex, I'll let you comment on that. I don't know that that's necessarily the case, but I certainly don't know that it's not either.
Yeah, well, you know, let me say this. I don't know that anybody really knows the exact number of illegals in America right now. But it's interesting, Jim. I was reading some secular sociologists that have been very, very concerned about declining birth rates in this country. And let me just say this. In 1973, when legal protection for the unborn was done away with, and we entered the age of Roe versus Wade and just almost unrestricted abortions, as some, you know, 40 to 50 million babies have been aborted, let me say this, out of the, I would say, irresponsible immigration policies that have let many illegals in, and right now we're in the midst of a real crisis of this. So we have illegals, we have the breakdown of the family and declining birth rates, and what we call the nuclear traditional family has been disappearing. If we sow to the wind, we reap a whirlwind. Now, Jim, one thing about the financial cost of illegitimacy and illegals, people are not paying into Social Security. People are not paying into, you know, taxes and FICA and all that kind of stuff. And let me just say, there is a spiritual cost to our culture of promiscuity, abortion, the breakdown of the family. But there's a financial cost. There's a cultural cost. There's a political cost. And so I don't know the full import of the caller's question, but I will say this. We need to return to the Lord, but we need to return to morality. Morality as it relates to marriage, family, childbearing, and responsible government.
Amen.
It's a hard climb and a hard pathway back, but it can happen for the good of our country if we'll turn back to God and His truth.
Well, you know, one of the things we've talked about is that we don't really get too political in this show unless it deals with things of morality, and abortion, of course, is certainly one of those. But Alex, I think one of the reasons that we have quit counting the cost of different life choices is very eerily similar to the government has pretty much quit counting the cost of whatever it is they do. They just issue these different spending bills, you know, and I'm sure that a lot of Americans were grateful to get the subsidy check from the government that they received here in the last few days or will receive in the next few days. But Alex, that was a small part of another $1 trillion deficit that our country's going into. So we can't expect our citizens to be responsible if we don't expect our gubernatorial leaders to be responsible.
Jim, at our house, if we don't have it, we can't spend it.
That's right.
And in the government, I just saw where the president has another $3 trillion spending bill, and so folks, we're going to have to realize that this thing of living without morals, living beyond our means, not having a budget, it can't go on forever.
Right.
And may God help us to humble ourselves. And not only repent, but live responsibly.
Amen. Well, let's talk to David calling from Kentucky. David, good afternoon. Welcome to Exploring the Word. Hi, David.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, sir. Yourself?
Yes, sir. I'm doing good. My question is, my fiance and I are wanting to get married before God, but we're not wanting to be get the license, like through the state. We're just wanting to get married before God. I just wanted to make sure and see if God still sees us in His eyes as a married couple, if it's not legally done. That's my question.
Great question. I want to make sure I understand it. So, getting married outside of the state where you live or outside of the country, in other words, like a spiritual ceremony, go ahead.
We just want a spiritual ceremony to be married, to say our vows and our promise to God, to each other, but just not have the marriage certificate, registered with the state.
Yeah, let me encourage you to go through the traditional means and get a marriage license. I'm only speaking for Alex here, but, Romans 13, 1 through 7, really basically tells us to obey the laws of the land. And There are things like, depending on the state where you live, not only how you file your taxes, but even if you rent or get a mortgage, and especially if you have a will, there's a term, joint tenants in kind with right of survivorship. And let me just say, and listen, I'm very keen to what the government is or isn't doing. I don't want to fall prey to, things like, being tracked in my spending or things like that. I understand technologically and politically, there's a lot of discernment Christians need to have right now. But I think we know your marriage is recognized by God, but I would encourage you to take it through the legal channels, go to the courthouse, get a marriage license, do it right, and that protects you both in the death of another. Or let me say this, let's say, heaven forbid, but one of you is in a car wreck or something, and the HIPAA laws, you want your spouse to have medical power of attorney. And I know these sound like extreme circumstances, but Jim, how I would counsel any parishioner at our church is get a license and make it a fully legalized marriage recognized in the eyes of the state. That's what I would say.
Oh, I agree. And David, I guess my question would be why you wouldn't want to do that. And so, I'm with Alex here. I think it's one of the things that you go ahead and you subject yourself to the law of the county, the law of the state, and go ahead and get that marriage license. And there's kind of completeness there. You not only have you been married in the eyes of God, but for the state of Mississippi, the minister or the person who does the actual ordinance of marriage, they sign that. And they say they sign that saying they have witnessed that marriage and that they know for a fact that you have been married and that it's not just say-so. So I would encourage you to do that. Thanks for the call this afternoon, and be praying for you in your upcoming nuptials. God bless. Talk to Alan now, calling from Texas. Alan, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Good afternoon, and thanks for taking my call. My question today is how you reconcile the spiritual warfare that we read about in Ephesians 6, and then in Jude 6, where demons are in chain, and then 1 Peter 3:19, I believe, where it talks about they were visited, Jesus visited demons in chain.
Great question. And spiritual warfare is a topic that we get a lot of questions about. Jim, here lately, Bert and I noted we've had so many questions about the end times, but we've also had a lot of questions about spiritual warfare, Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Here's the thing. When it's talking about in Jude and 1 Peter, the 1 Peter reference that Jesus, descended into the heart of the earth, led captivity captive, that's talking about after the death on the cross, but before the resurrection, Jesus went into the realm of the dead, and it says that he delivered the captives. The believing dead that were in paradise or Abraham's bosom were taken to heaven, not given a glorified body just yet, but they were in the realm of the dead. And there was, as best we understand it, a realm of Sheol, the grave, and there was Hades, and there was paradise. And the unbelieving dead were in Hades, and the believing dead were in Abraham's bosom, or paradise. Now, the Jude passage is a reference to the spirits in prison. It's very interesting. The angels, this is Jude 6, reserved in chains to darkness under the judgment of the great day. It's interesting, the chains of darkness where there are some demons held is a word only found once in the New Testament called Tartarus. Now, it may be that during the tribulation, the lid is opened and they are let loose temporarily on earth. But I think the spiritual warfare passage that says, we do battle evil, wickedness, dark powers from, the spirit realm. Ephesians 6 10 through 20 talks about, and this is just, Jim, sometimes I'll say an occupational hazard for the born-again believer, that we put on the armor of God because there are, Ephesians 6, 12, principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Apparently there are demons that have limited authority, but some authority in this world. Jim, I've been in some cities, I've been in some parts of the world where there was just a heaviness in the air. And there are places where the devil has a foothold. Let me just say this. Do I have time to, for 30 seconds, I got to give you an illustration, Jim. Can
sure.
Do I have time to do
yes,
that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, folks, imagine this. And this is why you want to confess sin, live for Jesus. Don't give the devil an opportunity to get in your life. Here's being smart about spiritual warfare. Imagine you buy a house and there's like four doors. There's a front porch, a side porch, a back porch. Maybe there's a sliding glass door out onto the deck. And you buy a house in a beautiful neighborhood, but you find out that that neighborhood is actually full of crime, and that neighborhood is very, a lot of break-ins. So you, every night you say, wow, this turns out this is a dangerous neighborhood. I better lock three out of the four doors. No, you're going to lock them all. And you say, well, you know, tonight I'll leave the front door unlocked. Tomorrow night I'll leave the back door unlocked. No, if you find out that your neighborhood is full of criminals prowling about, you're going to lock every door, because the devil will find a way in that you didn't even know was a way in. And in the spirit of Ephesians 6, you know, wherefore take up the whole armor of God, withstand evil, and having done all to stand, we got to remember the old devil and his demons will jiggle every doorknob till they try to find a way into your life. That's why we repent of sin. We try to walk with Jesus. And the Bible says, the entrance of thy word giveth light. One thing a burglar doesn't want is light, because
mm-hmm.
it'll expose he's trying to break in. That's why you need a daily quiet time. That's why hopefully exploring the word helps you every day. That's why you're in church, because you want the light of God's presence all over you and every door fastened so Satan can't get in.
Amen. Well, we're coming up towards the end of the program, but Marie, we're going to try and squeeze your call in.
Please, let me get rid of
Maria
Rover, and now I'm giving up my land.
All right. We're not going to talk to Marie after all. She was.
How about Bobby?
Well, we can try Bobby real quick. Bobby, welcome to Exploring the Word. Hi, Bobby.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is Bobby. I've got a question. You know, considering on the first show, does things like people like Adam and Eve, did they have a choice of not deceiving, because since the battle was against Satan and God, you know, it's not ours, you know, and is everything just timing or things like that? I'm confused on that situation.
I think they absolutely had a choice. You know, they did not have to sin. I mean, they knew the right. In Genesis 3, the serpent deceived them. And sadly, they chose to sin, but praise God, he chose to send his son to be our Savior.
Amen. Bobby, well, thanks for the call this afternoon. We sure appreciate it.
Yes.
Alex, are you traveling this week any?
No, I'm home all this week. And folks, I want to say thanks for listening to Exploring the Word, and thanks for Jim Stanley being with us. We'll continue with more of Nehemiah chapter 9 tomorrow. Hey, read your Bible, pray for this country, and tell somebody about the American Family Radio Network and all the great content, all the great programming. Tell somebody about Exploring the Word, but most of all, folks, tell everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.